Okay, I wanted to discuss a topic which is very likely not nogeya to everybody at this moment, but at some time in your life, it's probably very, very nogeya. Different things could die to discuss. Basically, what happened was the Reshiva Tzal, those, I don't know if you, none of you people really knew the Reshiva, Shiva Tzal had many, many midas. You know, he was obviously a brilliant Talmud Chacham, but one of the most unusual midas of Reshiva was that he had a incredible understanding of people. You know, that it was mamish. I say this without exaggeration. Sometimes you were afraid of being by him because he was so observant of every little thing. And then he put it together with something else you did 5 years ago, and he kept a cheshbon. And, you know, he was able, you know, I had a friend who asked him, who was like, I think probably the most brilliant guy in the yeshiva. He asked him, what does he do wrong in learning? You know, so on the spot, he said, well, you do this and this. And he brought, you know, because 5 years ago you asked this question and it was a mistake. And 3 years ago you asked this question, you made that same, you see the same mistake, the same thought process, you know. Like, you know, he once had, he, you know, he told me, I was once there, he the certain person, he touched up his personality from the way he said good Shabbos to him. He said that after Shabbos, like there's about 200 guys saying good Shabbos. And he would, no, the way this guy said good Shabbos shows that he has this following psychological problem. Anyway, he was Marisha Pachad. It was, and he, so I was the Shiva's secretary, I was trying to gain a little bit insights in dealing with people. So I was trying to, so I was asking Shiva different questions. What is the most common problem? How you deal with it? Whatever. So he told me something very, very fascinating, which, again, I say is not necessarily relevant today, but it's important to know. Basically said that, in his opinion, of all his shmuzim, the most important psychological shmuz was really last week's parsha. Now, when you hear the shmuz, even after you hear the shmuz, it doesn't seem like any big deal. Whoever wrote up the Chidush Alev had a very big trouble trying to explain the godness of the shmuz. I don't think he succeeded. The shmuz is a very simple shmuz that it says that when Avraham was going to the Akedah, so the Satan just came in the form of an old man and tried to convince Avraham not to go. So it's an amazing chazal because here you have a chazal which puts words in the Satan's mouth, tells you what the Satan says to try and stop us from doing mitzvahs. And one of the things that it has that the Satan told Avraham is that you were dreaming. Hashem never told you to do an Akedah Yitzchak. You brought a raya because, listen, Hashem told you you're going to have a son. Obviously, and Hashem's a kill rachum. You know, there's many rayas to indicate that it couldn't be. So you must have been dreaming, hallucinating, and it never happened. You never got a tzivoy of Akedah Yitzchak. So there's no inyan to kill Yitzchak. And Adarab, if you kill Yitzchak, you'll be a rotzeach, and you'll be, beside the fact that you'll lose Yitzchak, you'll go to Gehenim. So don't do it. So Avraham's response was, Al Menas Kein. So just to say over quickly the words of the shmuz, the Rashiva's question is, what kind of silly answer is that? I'm an Azkain. I'll do it even if I go to get, on the condition I'll go to Gehenim. Like, that's not an answer. That's not the right answer. The answer should have been that I know it's you're full of baloney. You know, I did hear it. It wasn't a dream. It wasn't hallucinating. But the answer of I'm an Azkain doesn't sound like it makes any sense. So the shmuz is, like a good typical shmuz, is that in the fun? That is the right answer. Okay, that's the shmuz. Now you have to have the hezber. Because the hezber, without the hezber, the shmuz is meaningless. Shiva said as follows. He said that the most common problem, that a psychological problem, obviously people have typhus problems, but we're talking about psychology. What is the most, so I asked him, what is the most common psychological problem that normal, healthy people have, right? You can have abnormal psychology, which we're not discussing, but we're talking about even normal people can have abnormal problems, and that's normal, because not the human brain is not a computer, and it can sometimes think things that aren't so, you know, yashvasik. So what is the most common psychological, not taiva, problem that normal, healthy people have? So he said the most common problems are fears, phobias, anxiety, whatever word you want to use, right? Which means you find millions of examples. A person is engaged to get married. It's a wonderful shidduch. He's so happy. Fine, right? A week before the chasana, he gets cold feet, he breaks the shidduch. Right? So his fear that maybe this isn't the right shidduch for me. I can't go through with it. I can't go walk down the aisle. I can't do it. Right? He breaks the shidduch. You have a thing called, stage fright. Right? The person could be a wonderful, great actor, world famous. All of a sudden, it comes into his head, what happens if I forget my lines? I'm going to get on stage, and I'm going to forget my lines. I can't get on stage. What if I'm going to be off tune? What if I'm going to make a fool of myself? Right? Now, that's just, we're not actors, but there are rabbis. There are some amazing rabbis that had to resign because they got that same fear. I can't give a drush anymore. Because what if I admit my drush, I forget where I'm holding? And especially if it happened once, and sometimes it can happen, so then after it happened once, and you're like, how can I get up again, you know? I'm going to forget my drasha. I make a total fool of myself. I'm standing in front of all the people. I don't have notes. And I don't, what do I say now? You know, Petra, I don't. You can have people that are afraid of flying. Maybe the airplane's going to crash. Definitely people like that that won't go on the airplanes. You have people that won't go out of their homes or won't walk out of there's such a thing called panic attacks. They're just walking down the street and all of a sudden they get this panic, right? Obviously after the terror attacks in Israel, so people that are, you know, nearby, how can I go to shul? How can I go walk down the street? There's an Arab. I see a car coming, you know. How can I drive, you know? You become petrified with fears. And what the fears do is when a person is so fearful, so the fears can do one of two things. Either fears cause a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? The Sefer Cheshbon Nefesh gives a beautiful mashal. Apparently it's a true story. He says there's a type of snake in America. I do not know where it is, but I assume if it's anywhere, it's probably in Miami, that likes to eat a certain type of birds. So, but no, there's no way that a snake can catch a bird, because snakes crawl, you know, they crawl fast, and birds can fly. So basically, he says what the snake does is, when he sees a bird sitting on top of the tree, the snake crawls under the tree, you know, not anywhere near the bird. The bird's only in the top of the tree. If the snake would start getting close to it, the bird would see him and fly away. So he just crawls under the tree, and he stays there, and he picks up his head, and he makes a mean face. He opens his mouth up wide. Meanwhile, the bird is all the way up in the top of the tree, quite happy, and he looks down. Here's a snake! His mouth is open! He's going to eat me! And the bird gets frightened. And when he frightens, he loses his balance, falls off the tree, and lands right into the snake's mouth. It's the Sefer Cheshbon Nefesh says this. This is a common thing called that fear. Like, you know, if you're afraid you're going to forget your speech, then the fear makes you forget your speech. If I go, I happen to have fear of heights. I'm much better, Baruch Hashem. But when I was young, I was terrible. I couldn't go on a seesaw. But, you know, imagine that. But you go on a cliff. If I would stand on a cliff, And it's not, you know, I don't know why, but the moment I get a tremendous fear, I'm going to fall. Now, makes no sense. I don't usually fall, you know. But I get this fear that I'm going to fall. And what happens is, because I'm afraid I'm going to fall, I get dizzy. And I'm mamish liable to fall. So there's fears have a way of causing you to do the thing you're afraid of. But even if it doesn't cause you to do the thing you're afraid of, it causes you just to do nothing. You know, I can't go through with the marriage because I'm afraid. So fears stop you from functioning. I can't go on an airplane because I'm afraid the airplane's going to crash. The fear doesn't make the airplane crash, but it makes that you can't take advantage of the airplane, right? So the fear doesn't allow you to live a proper life because it paralyzes you. So she said, this is the most. Now you can have fears in hashkafas. We had a guy here in the yeshiva who was paralyzed by the fact. I'm just telling you what happened. He was paralyzed by the fact that he was afraid that maybe the Lubavitcher Rebbe really is a Mashiach. That's what he apparently, you know, maybe he is. And there was another guy who was paralyzed by the fear that maybe Yashka. You know, I'm not saying any comparison, Chas v'Shalom, but. You know, maybe real Yashka is right. So how can I, you know, how here I'm functioning. I'm giving my whole life to this. What's going to happen? Achameyev Esrim. I'm going to go up to Shemayim, and I'm going to find out I was wrong. You know? It's such a fearful thought. So how can I give myself? And this is true stories. I'm not saying the guys. So the fear is where a guy can't, I can't learn, I can't function, I can't push myself. Because maybe. So I'm not saying you get this every day, but sometimes, obviously there are some people that have more than others, but Rishim said that this is, he thinks the most common thing is that many people have it sometime in their life. And if you don't know how to handle it, you're in big trouble. So these are the problems. So what's the solution? So human nature is when you have such a fear, what a person tries to do is to convince himself that the fear is unfounded. That sounds like the logical thing to do. So, said the Rashiva, a tremendous chiddush, that is the worst thing you can do. For two reasons. The first reason is, or the way that they're both, I mean, the reason why, this is the introduction for both reasons. The reason why it's a weird thing to do is because it's humanly impossible to disprove anything. No matter how far-fetched the possibility is, you can never disprove it 100%. That is the nature. It's in all this thought on this. My father was he said the same thing from the Kabbalistic Sfarim, but it's the same idea that in this world, that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have Emes and Sheker. And by people, you have Toi V'ra. They used to say that by people, there's no such thing as Emes and Sheker. Because there's no absolute truth when it comes to people. It's the same idea. But anyway, but the Maisa, by, he says, you can never disprove anything 100%. And therefore, if you try and disprove something, so it has two negative effects. The first negative effect is that when you try and disprove it and you find that you can't, so then you feel, obviously, it's not true. If it was really true, I could disprove it. So since you're under the impression that something which is true can be proven, and then you try and prove this. I'm trying to prove that Yiddishkeit is right and Christianity is wrong, and I can't prove it 100%. Oh, so I guess, you know, if it was right, I would be able to prove it. I can't convince myself 100%. Right? I had a Maisa. This is a true story. It's one of my favorite stories. There was a guy in the high school here who had a brother who was an apikairis, an older brother. And minig, I told this story many times, minig of people that are doing things wrong is they always like to get other people to do wrong things too, because that's human nature. You feel better if you're not the only one. So he, with the older brother, was trying to convince the younger brother, who was in the yeshiva here, to become an apikairis too. So he said to him a very seemingly logical thing. He said, listen, you believe in God, I don't. If really God exists, you should be able to prove it. So prove it to me. I'm open. Prove it to me. Give me a proof. If you can't prove it, then why do you believe in it? So the kid tried to prove it to his brother, and any whatever proof he said, his brother came up with some way of slugging up the proof. And then the boy was all flustered. So this happened right before it was a Shabbaton. So one of the Rebbeim told me, tipped me off, this is happening. So I told them the following story. I said that I have this belief. This is my philosophy in life. And I even have proofs to it to back it up. That, you know, there are times that I get ready in the morning at night, and I take out my socks for the next day, and I get it ready, and my clothes, it's all ready. And then I wake up in the morning, and one of the socks is missing. Can't be. I put it there. Where'd it go? Possible. So my theory is that there's these obviously teeny, miniature little people that they come in, and they do all the mischiefs, and they take away all the socks and everything that disappears. They live in the television sets. That's television sets. Television sets are full of little people. Really, there's no such thing as television, only radio. Shot is that it's a plot of the CBS, whatever, that they don't want you to know that they're putting all these little miniature people in your home, because then people wouldn't buy televisions. But they're really what they do when they sell you a television set, it's full of these little people. They get a radio signals of what to act, and they're great actors, and the screen is a magnifying glass, and that's why everybody TV set shows the same thing. And my theory is, therefore, we have to go around and smash all the TVs in the world and save humanity. Okay. I said, this is my theory. Can anyone disagree, you know? Okay. Can anyone disprove my theory? I dare anyone to disprove my theory. Right? No one. I have never found anyone yet who could disprove this theory, you know? Because any answer that they give, I have an answer for, you know? They're invisible, they're teeny, they have supernatural powers. I don't know, you know? You come up with a question, I'll come up with an answer. You know? But just because you can't disprove it doesn't mean that you think it's right, right? So that's what I was trying to tell this kid, that because you can't prove something, you can't convince your brother, because he doesn't want to be convinced. So he'll say, no, it's not proven. Yeah, maybe, I don't know, you can't prove it. Okay, that doesn't prove anything. So the first thing is, when you try and prove something, it can't be proven, you're going to try and prove it. The Maisa, because you're so nervous, you're going to always say maybe, and then you're going to be shooken up by the fact that you can't prove it. That's the first problem. But the second problem is much greater. The second problem is a big thing in the, I don't want to say in the Musa's farm, it's a Musa, but they don't use these words. There's a word that they use in the other, Zalik Pliskin is his favorite word, but is the word focus. I don't know if you ever heard Zalik Pliskin speak. Focus means as follows. Focus is, and I got to be careful what I say now because my daughter just got married, but okay. You say you have a mother-in-law comes into the house of her daughter-in-law, right? And now for whatever reason, the mother-in-law does not like this daughter-in-law. So she comes in and she right away sees, oh, there's dust on top of the top shelf of the bookcase, right? Now, you ask her when she walks out, what do you think about your daughter-in-law's housekeeping? Terrible. Terrible. There was dust on the top of the bookcase. Now, what about the fact that the rest of the house was spotless? She didn't see it because she focused all her vision on that dust because that's what she wanted to see. So when you focus all your vision on one point, psychologically, emotionally, sometimes even intellectually, that's all you see. So if I'm putting a tremendous work on trying to prove that, you know, trying to disprove that there are, trying to disprove that there, maybe there are little people in the TV. Can I disprove that? And I put all my work trying to disprove that. And after much work, I can't disprove it, then, hey, that's a real possibility. Because I spent so much time focusing on that maybe, then the maybe becomes a bigger maybe, right? If I'm going with the shidduch and I say, but maybe the girl really isn't good for me, maybe, and there might be some, you know, and there's some little indication, just like I have my indication that my socks are missing. You know, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, she did something. I don't know why she did that. You know, maybe she really has a temper and I don't realize it, and she's hiding it to me, and she's faking, and she's really not the person I think she is, and maybe. And you try and disprove that, you can never disprove it, because maybe she is putting on a show. Maybe she is an actress. And I even heard stories about a guy who got married, and then after he got married, he found out, you know. So, you know, and so maybe this girl, she's also putting on a show, and she's really a and she has really a temper, and she did seem to get upset that then 3 weeks ago. So once you start focusing, does she have a temper? Well, babe, what about 3 weeks ago? And you focus enough on it, at the end of the time, you really convince yourself that she really has a temper. So focusing on the problem, instead of proving to you that it doesn't exist, will make you think it exists more. So that's what Rav Shiva said. When Satan came to Avraham Avinu and said, maybe Hashem didn't say you're hallucinating. So Avraham Avinu didn't say, no, I'll prove to you you're wrong. Because Satan's in his head. It's not the, you know, because you can't prove them he's wrong. It's a possibility. You cannot disprove the possibility that you're hallucinating. Maybe I don't exist and you guys are hallucinating, right? Maybe I'm a bad dream, right? Maybe I don't exist, or you don't exist, or maybe you're a bunch of, we're in an insane asylum, we're just you, Richard. I don't know, you know? We don't know. You can't prove anything. What?
If you were in a cult.
That's right, maybe. Okay, well, this, okay, anyway. So the more you think about it, you can't prove it. And if you're going to try and prove it, if Avraham Avinu was going to try and prove that he wasn't hallucinating, at the end of the day, he would lose his drive. Because now it's right now that maybe is ridiculous. Come on. Maybe there are little people on the television. Maybe my brakes in my car aren't going to work. When I go in the car, I'm going to get into a car accident. Come on, don't drive crazy. You know, why should my brakes not work? Maybe there's a terrorist on right around the corner. When I walk out of the building, they're going to shoot me. You know, it doesn't mean it can't be. It could be, but it's so far-fetched. Maybe there's a sinkhole, you know, here. Or there's a germ, and I don't know. But there's a certain normal human being says, I don't worry about far-fetched possibilities. And I can't allow far-fetched possibilities to ruin my life. And I have a mission to do Akedas Yitzchak, and that's my life. I'm not going to let... You're right, there is a maybe. But it's worth it to me to do an Akedas Yitzchak and take that maybe chance. It's worth it for me to get married and take the maybe chance that maybe she's not the right girl. Okay, there is a maybe, but I got to get married. And the odds are she is the right girl. And the odds are, you know, but if you go ahead instead and say, no, for sure, you're not right, then he says it has the opposite effect. And that's why people get, well, the more you think about it and the more you try and prove, the stronger the maybe becomes and the more you become nervous. The best thing is just quickly as possible, with a split second, just once you say, I'm an Askain, there's nothing to talk about. It's over. The conversation's over. If you say, I'll prove to you you're wrong, then the Yetzer Hara can say, well, I'll schlug up your proof, and the conversation could go on for months. And that's the problem. The conversation does go on for months. And after a while, because you've been focusing on this question for a month, it becomes such a big thought. But if the moment the person says maybe, you say, listen, Shekaya, what's Rav David's big sign? Zinke bench, what's his one line? Rav David Shade. Zinke bench, that's Rav David, you know, that's the other answer. Okay, listen, go ahead, go jump in the lake. What are you driving me? Hack me in a Chinese with crazy maybes. You know, then could be maybe, but I don't care. So, then it's in it, it's over, it's finished. You know, you don't, that was the solution. Whenever a far-fetched maybe comes about, you, rather than try and slug it up, you just say that, listen, it's far-fetched. I can't go ahead and worry about far-fetched possibilities. If I worried about far-fetched possibilities, I would not walk out of this room because maybe there's a meteorite's going to hit me. I wouldn't drive a car. I would never get married. I don't let far-fetched possibilities dictate my life, and I just don't worry about them, period. They could be true, but it's irrelevant because a person who worries about far-fetched possibilities can't function, and it's not worth it. The yatsa scharo befseido. You know, they're worrying about those things. They're just going to destroy my life. I'll never be able to get married. I'll never be able to take a job. I'll never be able to do anything. So I can't worry. That's it. So I don't care. I'm ignoring it. I'm ignoring the possibility. I'm not interested in discussing it. It's irrelevant and immaterial. And case closed. And who's not interested? And there's nothing to discuss further. So that was, he tied it. That is the best answer. Okay. It gets a little bit more complicated, or maybe even a lot more complicated. What happens when you have a worry that's a real, that's you know, more than 2%? What if it's a 50% worry? Okay, that's a whole different topic. But that's a good topic. But what?
How do you compare this to thinking through a decision fully?
But at some point, it depends. There are people that think through a decision fully, and they waste their whole life thinking through a decision. That's also wrong. They obviously have to think through a decision fully, but it's not. You know, the yeshiva also had a shita which drove everybody in the yeshiva crazy. That you do not make your decisions till the last second, because it says you make your decisions earlier, then you do not make your decisions based on all the information, because not all the information came in yet. And then, Mimarashach, either when new information comes, you're not going to think about it, which is unhealthy, or you're going to think about it again, and then you're going to drive yourself crazy rehashing the same decision for 3 months, because every time new information comes in, you start rethinking about it. If you wait till the last minute, then you give yourself the right amount of time that you need for making a decision. Maybe the right amount of time includes sleeping on a decision, which that could be. That's probably right. The person important, Rabbi Trapper, was very, very big on that no major decision should be made without sleeping over it the next day, because you look at it second time fresh. But you give yourself that amount of time, which is good. So what it might be, one day with sleeping at it. And that's all you give yourself. And you give yourself to think it through. You don't waste, you think through all the facts. You wait till you get all the facts. You think through your decision, and then you make it. What happened, I remember, you know, it's sort of like in Yana Diyama, because the seniors were asking me whether they think they're going to have a senior trip to Israel. When the yeshiva went to Israel, the last time they went, the whole yeshiva went, was in 77. So it was a major undertaking. There was Kodo families, and people wanted to know in advance, because they wanted to know, you know, the whole yeshiva in Queens, They had it went with the Kodo. They wanted to know whether they should, the married people wanted to know if they should sublease their apartment, should they sign apartments. The women wanted to know if they should take jobs, should they rent apartments in Israel. And they kept on trying to get the yeshiva to commit. Are we going to Israel? And yeshiva refused to commit. He says, I'm waiting to see the political situation. I'm not going to Israel. You know, Israel's always like this. So if the situation in Israel starts to deteriorate, I'm not going. And I won't know till we're ready to go. So the Mamish will not decide. We're planning on going, but we haven't decided yet. And people, especially the guy was single, but the Kolo guy, they were going crazy. But she was just, you know, too early to decide. I remember that Rabbi Goldman, I don't know if it was when the Rabbi Goldman that was here, but either him or his brother, the Dr. Goldman, wife was pregnant in her, and you can't fly on the after a certain month, you know. So I think in her 8th month, whatever, 9th month, you're not supposed to fly. So it was her 8th month. So she was supposed to go in, let's say, in July. So July was her 9th month. So in June, they flew to Israel. So Rashiva said at the bris, He said that because the Gomans is what made them, because once the Gomans flew to Israel, I think we had to decide. They wanted to know. They had to make a decision. Should I fly to Israel? Oh, now there's no Gay and Amaisa. So that's when we finally decided where they were going. So we made the decision. You know, everything else he didn't think, okay, you'll see if you take it, you know, so you'll decide on you, you know. But so that was the, but that but it, he did not believe in thinking months over a decision. He did not, that's a way, but he believed in giving it the right amount of time. He didn't believe in being sloppy, chas v'shalom, you know. There was, you know, a million shmuzim of people who made the Achi Yossi made the wrong decision because they didn't think enough. But he did not believe in agonizing over a decision over and over again. He did not like that at all. That was, you know, very much against him. Anyway, but the concept, this is all self, this is all fears. He was very much, and then in general, he felt that whenever you have a fear, you have to stop and think, what's the worst possible thing that could come out of it? And realize whether it's really as bad as you think it is. You know, like if this guy, that the guy would say, I'm a rabbi, I'm afraid to get up and make a drasha because I might forget my speech. So the first thing he would tell the guy is, and if you forget your speech, then what? I'll be embarrassed. Okay. You'll be embarrassed. So you're going to give up your rabbonis because you're afraid of being embarrassed. You know, like it was, like to be also, that was like also to be focused on what can happen. But the ma'isa, but the you know, but that was a different point. You have to know that fears are very often that fear of the to avoid unknowns, not to be afraid of the unknown, to make it to picture the worst thing that can happen is so it's also very helpful. And I think it avoids the fear because instead of being an unknown, you know what your what could be and you say, okay, I can live with that. That was a different answer to fears. But this answer to fears, that wasn't the shmooze. This answer for fears was, he said, that you have to realize that nothing can be proven 100%. And you have to be ready to go through life with probabilities. And that's how you function. And if you want 100% guarantee, then you can never function.
Okay, how does that make someone ask him?
Bamanaskei means that something, Avram obviously knew 90-whatever percent that Hashem told him. The something said, maybe you're hallucinating. Now, I can't disprove that. There's a 1% possibility, 2% possibility, whatever it was, that I maybe was hallucinating. So I'm not going to say that you're definitely wrong. But I'm saying, but what's the possibility? There's a 2% chance that I'll go to Gehenna. So listen, Bamanaskei, I realize that. But okay, it's important for me. The mitzvah, getting the mitzvah of Akedas Yitzchak is so important to me that I'm ready to risk the 2% chance of going to Ganem to get Akedas Yitzchak. It's important to me to get married. I'm ready to risk the 2% chance that I'm going to marry a monster. Right? You know, maybe, you know, that's what Amanaskei means. I'm ready to take the gamble because otherwise I can't function. Otherwise I'm giving up more so much. I'm going to give up Akedas Yitzchak because of a 1% chance? No, I can't do that. I'm going to give up my career of being a Rav because I'm afraid of a 1% chance of making a fool of myself. I'm going to give up my beautiful Shidduch that I think this is the world's best girl for me because of a 1% chance that she's a phony. I can't do that. I'm an Askein. Maybe I'll live a life and it'll be terrible and she'll be a monster and she's going to beat me with a broom. Okay, I'm an Askein. I'll have to take that chance because it's worth it to take that chance. Otherwise, I can't function. That's what Amanaskei means. You say that maybe with Achamedes, I'm going to come up to Shemayim and I'm going to bump into Yashka. Okay, you know, I don't think that's going to be. But I can't worry about that possibility. If it happens, it happens. You know, I'm not going to give up what I think is 99% right because I'm worried about some crazy possibility. You know.
Sorry, the Rashi was saying that a person has to be able to live his life taking chances.
It's taking. I mean, it depends how much of a chance. We're not talking about major. Even truth is, we say major chance, but that's a different story. But we're talking here about really, you know, chances that maybe there are little people in the refrigerator and the TV. Maybe there are, you know, I'm saying there are far fetched chances. So you can't worry. Yeah, he says you can't worry about far-fetched chances. I got